Welcome to SCOTUScast, Indian Lands Edition. Today our featured guest is Tom Getty, a principal in Bingham Consulting Group and of counsel to Bingham McCutcheon LLP, discussing Carcieri v. Kempthorne, heard an oral argument on Monday, November 3rd. Thanks for tuning in. The Supreme Court here considers the Narragansett Tribe of Rhode Island's rights under the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934 and the Rhode Island Indian Claims Settlement Act. The case arises from a dispute over a 31-acre parcel of land purchased by the Narragansett tribe in 1991. The tribe began construction on the land without obtaining the relevant permits, and the town of Charleston obtained an injunction to stop the tribe from building without them. In 1998, the Secretary of the Interior took the land into trust under the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934, a decision which the state appealed unsuccessfully to the Interior Board of Indian Appeals and then challenged in United States District Court. The District Court affirmed the Secretary's decision, as did the First Circuit on appeal. The Supreme Court now considers whether the 1934 Act applies to tribes that were not federally recognized in 1934, and whether the Rhode Island Indian Claims Settlement Act restricts the tribe's ability to claim sovereignty over acquired land that was not part of the settlement. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Getty.
This is Tom Getty. On November 3, 2008, the Supreme Court heard argument in Carcieri v. Kempthorne concerning the construction of the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934, or IRA, and whether that act allows trust acquisitions for land for tribes that were recognized at the time of the trust acquisition, but not in 1934. The case holds the prospect of touching upon some key federalism questions in addition to and as part of the statutory construction questions presented to the court. The grant of certiorari occurred in this case following a 2007 en banc decision of the First Circuit Court of Appeals against the governor of Rhode Island, Donald Carcieri, who with others earlier challenged the Secretary of Interior's decision to take into trust a 32-acre parcel in Charlestown for the benefit of the Narragansett tribe, using the powers given the Secretary under Section 5 of the IRA, or Section 465 of Title 25 of the U.S. Code. That section allows the Secretary to take land in a trust for the benefit of Indians, who in Section 19 of the IRA are defined as persons of Indian descent who are members of any recognized Indian tribe now under federal jurisdiction, and descendants of members who were, on June 1, 1934, residing within the present boundaries of any Indian reservation, as well as other persons of one-half or more Indian blood. Rhode Island and the town of Charlestown contended that the IRA does not authorize the taking of land into trust for a tribe that received its federal recognition as a tribe after the date of the Act, namely 1934. The state also contended the Rhode Island Indian Claims Settlement Act restricts the Secretary's authority to put the parcel in trust under the IRA, and that there are constitutional barriers to the exercise of this power in the 10th Amendment to the Constitution and the Enclave and Admissions Clauses. The First Circuit rejected the state's contentions, holding that the Department of Interior's construction of the IRA allowing trust acquisitions for tribes that were recognized and under federal jurisdiction at the time of the trust acquisition was entitled to Chevron deference, and that the Bureau of Indian Affairs did not act arbitrarily and capriciously when deciding to take the land into trust. In addressing whether the authority is bound to the tribes recognized at the time of the Act, 1934, or at the time of the acquisition, the Circuit Court methodically worked through the legislative language and legislative intent as to conclude that the statute is at least ambiguous on the question, then found the Bureau of Indian Affairs employed an interpretation that was rational and consistent with the statute and entitled to deference. The majority of the Circuit Court en banc panel also rejected the state's argument that the Settlement Act implicitly repealed the Secretary's Trust Land Acquisition IRA authority. While the court acknowledged that under the Settlement Act, Rhode Island's civil and criminal jurisdiction applies to the settlement lands, it rebuffed the state's argument that, at a minimum, state jurisdiction should apply on newly acquired lands. The court noted that the Settlement Act says no such thing. It only applies to the lands that are the subject of the Settlement Act. Two judges dissented, arguing the Settlement Act was intended to settle lands questions once and for all. The appeals court swiftly dismissed the 10th Amendment challenge, stating simply that because Congress has plenary power to regulate Indian affairs, Section 5 of the IRA provision does not offend the 10th Amendment. The circuit court similarly rejected the Enclave Clause argument. Rhode Island made the argument the primary federal jurisdiction over the land, coupled with Congress's exclusive legislative jurisdiction over Indian matters, effectively creates federal enclaves out of the trust parcels. The trust land does not fall into the plain language of the clause, the court noted, and state, civil, and criminal jurisdiction is not entirely foreclosed. The court similarly dismissed the notion that the trust lands created a state within Rhode Island in violation of the admissions clause. In another claim, the state pressed that Section 5 lacks any requisite intelligible principle and thus is an unconstitutional delegation of legislative authority, relying on an earlier Eighth Circuit decision that was eventually vacated but later reissued with a contrary result. The circuit court held that the reasoning in the reissued opinion was persuasive, namely, that the IRA was designed to give life to the goals of rehabilitating the Indians' economic life and development, otherwise destroyed by oppression and paternalism. The Supreme Court granted certiorari in this case on two of the issues, the statutory interpretation of the IRA and the Rhode Island Settlement Act, and left aside the question of whether the statute was an unconstitutional delegation of power to the Secretary of Interior. As put by the petitioning state, the question before the High Court is whether the IRA authorizes the Secretary of Interior to take land in a trust on behalf of an Indian tribe that was neither federally recognized nor under federal jurisdiction at the time of the statute's enactment, and whether the Settlement Act prohibits the Secretary of Interior from taking land in Rhode Island into trust on behalf of an Indian tribe. The former question predominated at the oral argument. At oral argument, counsel for the governor and state of Rhode Island, Ted Olson, jumped immediately to the key argument that Congress used the word now to mean the date of enactment of the statute, 1934, when referring to Indians as members of a, quote, recognized Indian tribe now under federal jurisdiction, close quote. Justice Breyer posed a question that became a sticking point. He asked, what about a poster that says, quote, give blood now, close quote? Clearly, that does not mean when the poster was printed. Mr. Olson returned with multiple examples of language within the IRA in which now could only refer to 1934, and that Congress used the word knowingly to refer to the then present, not the now present. In other places, Congress referred to positions and Indian tribes, quote, now or hereafter created, close quote. It refers, he argued, to lawsuits now pending or hereafter created. Mr. Olson also recited colloquies and committee questioning in which the then Indian Affairs Commissioner proposed language to senators that suggests that the limitation is to 1934. While the court and counsel skipped, or rather lightly brushed, over the history of the Allotment Act and the rationale for the IRA, the argument continued to focus on the meaning of the word now and whether it was limited to 1934. Several justices seemed to signal a bright line was appropriate, in part for fear that without such a limitation, the Secretary of Interior would have no limitations in this area. There was also discussion of whether the matter should be remanded, allowing the tribe to prove that while it may not have been recognized in 1934, it should have been, and thus meet the, quote, under federal jurisdiction, close quote, language. This doesn't seem likely to help the Narragansetts, however. Several states appeared as amici supporting Rhode Island, and some of the argument touched upon the impact this decision may have upon the states and state sovereignty. Justice Kennedy asked the assistant to the Solicitor General if there was some canon of construction that warrants caution before taking land out of the state's jurisdiction, looking to principles of federalism. She responded that she did not know, but there is a competing principle that Indian sovereignty is not lightly to be set aside, and continued on with the purpose of the IRA as being forward-looking to revitalize rights. The Chief Justice jumped in to say, of course, your friend on the other side says the exact opposite. It was backward-looking. If you weren't a recognized tribe in 1934, you were not penalized by the allotment policy, so you won't need the benefit. Ultimately, counsel for the government acknowledged remand might be preferable to reversal. Mr. Olson summed up with an uninterrupted recitation of presumptions and canons that point to a limitation on Indians under federal jurisdiction as of 1934 and to the recognition of state sovereignty. All in all, most of the justices appeared to start from the notion that reading now as not limited by the year of enactment is to read it out of the statute, which seemed to many of them to be unacceptable. What was surprising in this argument was that the court spent virtually no time on the Rhode Island Settlement Act and on the question of the extent, if any, of the state's civil and criminal jurisdiction on trust lands set aside for the Narragansetts. If the court decides this case solely on the basis of the meaning of the word now in Section 19 of the IRA, the consequences will have to be sorted out. The Secretary of Interior has relied upon the understanding that he or she can take land in a trust for any Indian tribe recognized by the federal government as a tribe, regardless of when the tribe was recognized. The decision should be out shortly, and additional commentary will be provided.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.